next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. It's a lot of Nets podcast.
I mean, the only Net fans you know? The only what? The only Nets fans you know?
At least they've got some self-aware.
Man. I mean, come on, man. Or are these guys?
Welcome back to the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter, Trade Deadline Edition. Welcome back to the show, my guy Kool-Aid. What's going on, brother?
Hey, nothing, brother. Glad to be back. You know, let's give him a good one.
Unfortunately, I have many L's to take. I thought there was going to be a splash or two. I thought there was going to be some clarity, right? We're finally going to get a direction with this team. That doesn't happen. We go from talks of getting Murray, talks of getting D'Lo, maybe getting a lot of draft picks from Royce and Dorian Finney-Smith. Instead, we kind of get asked out, disappointed. I have egg all over my face because I've been saying for the longest time that maybe Clax might get traded. I really thought Clax was going to get traded. That looked like it was going to happen. It did not. Egg on my face. It looked like Dorian Finney-Smith was going to get traded for two first-rounders. Egg on my face. Spencer Dinwiddie not going to Atlanta when I really thought that would have been a great fit with the Murray deal. Egg on my face. But what did we do? Royce O'Neal going to Phoenix. We got back three second-rounders. And Keita Bates Diop. Did I say that right? Cool.
I don't even know who that guy is. He played on the Spurs, though. I know that.
Yeah. And then Dinwiddie went to Toronto for Thad Young and Dennis Schroeder. I kind of thought it was funny. One of Mark's first moves, trading Thad Young. He wound up getting waived. But the main centerpiece, Dennis Schroeder. A lot of fans were underwhelmed. I was definitely underwhelmed. I'm kind of mad at myself. I kind of didn't see this happening. I really thought they'd pick a direction. But instead, they're kind of just flailing in the water. I think that's the best way you could say it.
So I don't think you took L's. One, I think you're smart enough to know Marks has always shown he doesn't get it right on the margins, right? That's one of his weak points. And I'm not even going to knock him, right? So my only issue with the Phoenix trade was I would have took 2 seconds from somebody else. I don't want all my picks that I'm getting back to be tied into one team. Because truthfully speaking, people are worried about, well, KD's getting old. I'm not worried about KD. I worry about Devin Booker. That's his team. He's the engine. The Spencer, I thought was a little weird because we didn't even get a pick back. And the reason why I say that is we took on money for next year. Regardless if it's a salary slot that we can, that we have that we wouldn't have had, you took money back.
And you helped Toronto.
A division day because they had to pay quickly. Like, there was no reason for you not to. And I'm not saying for people listening, I'm not saying a first round pick. Could have got 2 seconds, something. You're taking back, what, 13 or 16 million? I don't know the exact numbers, but it's one of them. And it's funny how as soon as you do the trade, you waive everybody. So you kept the two people that you wanted. I like Dennis, though, because he's an a-hole. This team needed an a-hole.
You're right.
And it got it at the best position. Point of attack. Ayo.
He just came off his first game. Great game. Was it 15 points, 12 assists, whatever? But It was against San Antonio, right? We're not expecting this against Boston. But the fact of the matter is, like you said, it saved us a salary slot. And two, it just pushes everything back another year. Okay. It leads me to think that maybe Marks has a point guard in mind he wants to get. And having Schroeder is a good piece you could either trade. Kind of like Jeremy Lin a couple years ago, right? When we were kind of transitioning. That's what I see with Schroeder. He's a nice place filler. But there's a reason why he's not playing on a championship team. The reason why he wasn't really playing that much on Toronto, I think. Man, I hate that we helped Toronto. And with the Phoenix deal with Royce O'Neal, the 3 second rounders, I will say this, okay? The last two are from the Grizzlies. So it's not like we're tied to Phoenix completely. 28 and 29 are from Memphis. And 26 is the worst of Milwaukee, Detroit, and Orlando. Probably not going to be that great of a pick, but I'll take whatever you can get. Do you think Mark's fucked up by not making these deals sooner?
So he held on too long, in my opinion, right? I think I said this before. I know I said it in spaces. They should have traded them before OG got traded. OG set the market. You wanted to be the first one to set the market. So if they do the Royce trade in the beginning when he's shooting lights out, everything is great, and you decide, yo, Royce is available, you might have got a first. Because nobody knew how to take the market. When OG goes for RJ Barrett and quickly and what? Some seconds? Even though Toronto got talent back that they wanted, right? OG and Royce are not in the same stratosphere. So you're not getting the talent back. But now you're not getting those draft picks because he went for two, you know, it was 2 seconds, something like that. And it became, okay, Royce, you got 3 seconds back. So in that aspect, yeah, because they move slow, I just think that Mark's picked the direction. His direction is the repeat of what he did when he first got here. That's what he wants to keep doing. He's not rebuilding, retooling. He's repeating and hoping that it works. If everything I tweeted today, if everything is, if this player becomes available, right? If this player then says, I only want Brooklyn, if the team decides they like our offer or they want to listen to the star and give Grant them where they want to go because Portland didn't do that this year. So it's a lot of ifs. If you know you our players develop that entices the star to want to be here because you really haven't seen that yet. If a coach has a plan to for said star or stars when they get here, it's too many. The one thing he could have controlled from this deadline, I have my point guard or I have this or I have that. You taking pieces that have no real longevity here. So all you did was push it back. But my one pushback to you is, what if Sai doesn't trust him anymore and he allowed him to only move the players who contracts was coming off next year anyway so that he at least has assets that whoever else comes in, they kind of got a clean slate.
Man, I'm so happy you said that because that was going to be my next thing. Even though I've officially joined the Fire Sean Marks Club, I'm in. We talked on the phone about it. I'm in. Well, thank you guys for welcoming me into the club.
No problem. I'm the president. me and Jay from BK, we're co-presidents.
You guys recruited me in. It worked finally. All jokes aside, I have to give him a little bit of breathing room, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? Because of exactly what you just said. I do believe Sai and Marks are in step together, but we know it's a fact. This is a fact. Sai does not want a rebuilding team, so we're not looking for the best deal this trading deadline, right? We're looking for the deal to kind of stay afloat and stay mid. Would that be wrong to attest to?
I think the part about them, I think they were locking step, right? So you can't be lock and step if you just said Sai doesn't want to rebuild, but Marks does. So in that sense, you're not on the same page. And last time I checked, whoever's cutting the check, you need to be on their page. I also think that Sai didn't become a billionaire by being dumb. He may be basketball dumb, but at some point, the Nets are not profitable right now. That makes sense more than anything else. So we shall see. I can't think like this year he's going to be back on the same whatever contract, just run it back. Nobody wants to work like that. He needs job security just as well. Like to know, okay, I'm here, I'm getting paid no matter what. You know, he doesn't have that right now. That's a scary thought. I'm glad he didn't go too far left or right. So I give him a little bit of credit.
This guy put a lot of money into the team during the 7-11 era, right? You cannot blame Josiah for all that during the 7-11 era. He put tax millions upon tax millions into this team. And if the team is not going to win this year or next year, it behooves him not to, you know, not to go into that tax level. And then now with the apron, it's a perfect excuse. We're trying to get under the tax apron. So in 25, there's a reset. That way we don't get taxed, right? Saves him money as well. And it's a direction of the franchise. I think that works very well if I was making a narrative.
So you're missing one important component of that. The GM messed up last year. All he had to do was include Seth Curry in any trade. Right? They're not a luxury. They're not a tax team last year, which means they're not a tax team this year, which means this summer they can start doing what they wanted to do. But because you made your owner pay taxes last year for dudes that didn't even play, who shouldn't have been on the team, we're here now. We're 2 years off of being able to be right, which makes no sense, because why would you make your owner pay taxes for a team that got swept with no stars?
I don't know if you saw the hashtag I made. I said, we're going to be the 2025 offseason champions. But is it worth it sacrificing 2 seasons for that?
No. That means you didn't have a plan. I thought this was going to be 2 years counting this year, right? And my expectations that I had was you figure out what you got, right, from the Bridges and them. You see how Cam blossomed. Okay, that part's happened, right? You add one piece that you was going to take with you forward that would keep you in the playoffs. You know, okay, you win a game or two, you go home, you gracefully bow out. The next year you come back, you add the star, at least one of them, or a player better than Bridges. Now you have more to entice a star with an expiring bin. Now is when you might have to put Cant Johnson in a trade for salary and make it work that way. Now when you start saying, okay, I got some role players, I got my 2, 3, 4, and 5 in rotation of importance. That's a team. Like I said, everybody's caught up on Donovan Mitchell. It's sad that that's the best unkept secret around the league. He's number 2 in the East right now. What happens if they go to the finals? He's not leaving Cleveland.
Hell no.
Right up there. He's right. No, think about it. You go to the finals, the conference finals, anything right now, he didn't do in Utah. He's right there on LeBron status. Where they used to have the thing that said, I witness, it's going to be the spider banner.
Another thing I've been thinking about a lot, man, if I was Bridges, I'm looking at the Knicks. I'm like, man, I'm the last piece. My friends are there. I'm the last piece.
Well, I'll say this.
Right? All right. Think about it. Am I crazy?
A little bit.
Oh, you're wrong. You're so wrong, bro.
Listen, I agree with you for mostly everything you said.
Okay, then you should start with that.
No. You gotta bring him in. That's clickbait. But he's trained his body, right, to be a role player. This summer, he should take 2 to 3 weeks off, let his body heal.
Yes, yes.
Then he has to train as a superstar. He has to train the way Kawhi trains, Paul George, LeBron. And I'm not saying that they stay healthy, right, like LeBron does, but they're able to play two-way. Jimmy Butler, he has to be able to give on both ends.
Well, Todd, Jimmy Butler and LeBron are like physical specimens, right? Like they wake up at 5 a.m. and then they go to practice after, right? I don't think most players in the NBA do that. It would be nice if Bridges did it, though.
Well, guess what? If you want to get to that next level, you got to be in love and obsessed with the process. And you see it. If he's in love and obsessed with it, you'll see it next year. You'll see two different things added to his game. You'll see his handles get a little bit tighter. He might actually bulk up. And when I say bulk up, 5 pounds of muscle. Right? Because
be done.
Yeah, that's reasonable for him.
That's nothing for them. Yeah, yeah.
So now he can able to take contact and continue to get to the basket. Because if he stays this frail, he's going to get hurt here, and you know how cautious they are already. So any injury comes with a 3-week Nets hold. Then it's whatever the actual injury happens.
Yeah, that's funny.
Think about it. Shot you're right. 15 games already.
It's crazy, bro.
Only franchise. Anything happens here, normal franchise 2 weeks, it's 4 or 5 weeks here.
Absolutely.
And it's minutes restriction. Everybody else just go back and play. So
I don't know about that. I think that they're a little bit too safe with everybody, to be honest. But that's just me. You know, well, I'm not a doctor.
Well, the reason why these people are getting hurt this way, and it's the low extremities, because it's not, you know, it's not like the shoulders, arms. It's all knees and below.
And ankles and
what? And let me say hammies, all legs, right? Reason why the game is being played too fast.
Oh, I've been saying this for preseason. So Thank you.
That's why a dude like Joker could continue to play. That's why Luka could continue to play. You can't speed them up. The guys who play at their own pace, they don't get hurt that much, right? Joker don't jump out the gym, so you ain't got to worry about him popping his Achilles because he's moving too damn fast. You think about the scores we're seeing. This is video game era.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Whenever they decide to say, you know what, defense is going to be able to be a little play. If you give playoff defense in the regular season and let people play, the so-called superstar number go back to what it really is. It's about 5 to 7 superstars in the NBA. Everybody else is just good.
I get it. I can believe that. I can see that.
You know who it is. You know, I just think like the game has to slow down, and that's why I always ask for a big. A big calms the game down. It's like having a good point guard, and the big could be trash. If you could take two dribbles at the post,
I gotta cut you up. How does a big slow down the game?
Okay. The Nets struggle. Okay. Nets struggle with offense, right?
Okay.
You don't have to run sets. Post up, right? If you post up and you able to actually take two dribbles, chances are you're going to get a dunk or a layup, right? That means now if the defenders are either going to be stuck to their man at the three-point line or they're going to start sagging into the pocket of the post, which means now you get backdoor layups and dunks. You get swing stuff, swing open threes. You get all that. That's how you open it up where you don't have to turn the ball. Wait, buddy. Oh, hey. You know, where you don't have to force anything. So it's almost like having a good point guard. Who's going to run you see? And it slows and puts people right back in their correct positions. As opposed to coming down, jacking up threes.
So we could, me and you could kind of talk about this stuff forever, but I do want to move on just a little bit. We have the new team, these new Nets, right? Who's going to start? We have Ben, Schroeder, and CT, who could possibly start in the backcourt. Who's going to be the starting point guard and shooting guard?
Well, Ben started tonight. I believe he started tonight. I get why he started. The size. You can't have two dudes that small. But I think Ben now feels the pressure of having another point guard because he actually attacked today.
That's interesting. And, I didn't even think about that. Shit.
You know, so he actually exerted himself. He even hit a midi. So, you know, when you're looking at it as Dennis wants to start as well. And he will publicly, he will say his frustrations publicly, but so will Ben. But if Dennis plays his cards right, it won't even matter because, you know, Ben is not going to play back-to-backs. He'll sit out a couple of more games. And by default, the rotation will keep changing for this, for the remainder of this season.
Who fills out the starting lineup then?
So I think the basic core of it.
What's your starting five? Just give me your whole starting five.
It's going to be Bridges. It's going to be Clax. Believe it's going to be Cam. And I think the other two goes by teams.
I don't think he's going to. I don't think JB's going to do that. I really don't.
Well, you asked.
But we'll see.
But you asked me. I actually have common sense.
Of course, of course.
Look, of course. I got
you're right.
I got
you're right.
JV is going to start. He would start Cant Johnson, right? And it's like, nah, dude, you've been cramping hamstrings, this, that. You're underperforming. Put him back where he belongs. Let him come off the bench where he can see how the flow of the game is going, where he can get his buckets. It's okay if you pay the guy that's not a starter. You can't get the money back. It is what it is.
He'd be good off the bench. I think he'd provide a little help because they need some help on the bench, right?
You would force him to be aggressive so you get your money's worth.
Gets more touches, right? You get more touches when you're not playing with Bridges, whoever the point guard's going to be.
But he also will be able to get pause. He'd be able to get off better because he's not playing against first-string opponents.
True. Also true.
So, you know, dudes like him who's struggling, that's how you allow them to get back in a rhythm. Because DFS going to play defense regardless. He should hit an open shot regardless. He's a 3-and-D dude. He's not a creator. So it don't matter for him. And you kind of go from there. I like that they're finally letting Wilson play. I tweeted earlier, watching Wilson play make you think they should have got rid of Royce earlier. And what I know he played like 30-something minutes, I want to say. 30 or 20-something, high 20s. But he gave you like 8, 2-2, 2-3, pretty much Royce career numbers. Royce had his career year last year.
Listen, Sean Marks, should he be fired? Probably. Is he the worst GM of all time in the history of the NBA? No. Is he the worst Nets GM in the history of the Nets? No, he's not. Okay? He's not.
He's tied.
Oh, stop it. With who?
Who you think is the worst?
Billy King.
They're tied. Billy King went to the finals. He built the finals team that actually went to the...
We'll say only Nets tenure.
All I can say is, when you look at their things, it's the same. They did exactly the same thing.
No, I've been thinking about this, bro, and I got you now.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why I got you. Let me tell you, okay? Let me tell you. Billy King... to save Deron Williams from leaving and go to the Mavericks, right? What did he do?
Sign Crash, right?
Not only, okay, he traded the 6th overall pick, but he didn't know it was going to be 6th overall, but still, lottery pick for Crash, re-signed Crash to a huge deal that wound up being Yeah, and what happened? We had to give another pick to Boston for that. Basically, you didn't know at the time, but you wound up trading Damian Lillard for Crash. And I think that's what sets them apart.
That one trade.
But you don't think Damian Lillard is a Hall of Fame player. Think about if he would have came to Brooklyn.
I did think about that, right? So the one knock about Billy King was he didn't value draft picks. That's been his whole thing. See, even on his Philly days, think about it. They went and got vets. He did the same thing.
They got rid of the G League team.
Okay, now watch this. I'm glad you said that. What did Marks do this summer? He just did it with Cam Johnson.
What do you mean?
To keep Bridges happy, he gave Cam Johnson that bloated contract. He's not worth that. He's a $15 million. He's a $15 million player. This year he's making $10 million over his true value.
But that's what the market will make you overpay,
I'm glad you said that too.
Go ahead.
How do we know he overpaid, right? You didn't let him hit the market. No, only people could offer him was 4 years.
Oh, cool. Come on. Cool.
What?
Okay. You don't think the player agents don't talk behind the scenes?
Hold on. Just let me finish and you tell me when I'm lying. Right? So he's a restricted free agent because he's coming off his regular rookie deal. We have the ability to match anything. At worst, he gets 110. Right now, his contract is, 96 with the ability to go to 106? So another $4 million don't make a difference. See what's out there. You can also do a sign and trade. I'm pretty sure nobody's giving him $25 million a year. It wasn't that much cap space.
There were at the time, though. Houston and Detroit. There were, bro. I saw them. I reported on them.
I'm not saying you're lying or you're wrong. What I'm saying is this. Houston gave Van Fleet. That was their point guard. They had him set. 40-something million, right? Check.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks was set. That was their other guy. They needed a dog, an a-hole. That's not Cam Johnson, right?
No.
He might have took Brooke Lopez money, but look how long it took to figure that out. Then you say Detroit. Detroit really only had $20 million space because they took Joe Johnson and they was at their cap to not go over. They're not spending luxury and not know what team they got yet. They're still a bunch of young guys. That makes no sense. Where they would have gave him, remember, Phoenix offered him 78, something like that, for something 4 years. Which is pretty much closer to what his true value is. So to me, there's your crash trade right there.
We didn't lose a Dame Lillard off of a guy like that. One and two, you know that they're not paying him for the guy he is this year. They're paying him for the guy he's going to be in a year or two, hoping that he develops. Because he was young, and of course, because he was in the KD trade, he kind of, he felt pressure to re-sign him.
Young? No. The man's 27.
How much more young? You're just going into your prime.
It's young in age, right? He came into the league 23. So when you come into the league older, and when I say older, I mean at 23, because you normally would graduate college at 21, right?
When you
get into Cam Thomas, who's 21 right now? Cam, maybe 22. This is his third year in the league. You ever notice that people tell you, and you hear GM say, you kind of know what the player is, who the archetype of the player is by year three? You know that. Yeah, they're going to tighten up some stuff, but pretty much that's the player you're going to be. So we're in year five for Cam. And he's 27. How much room you think he's going to get when he technically was a fifth option in Phoenix? He's not going from 5 to 2. That don't happen that way. He had to be a natural scorer who was being held back. That's not him.
So I'm looking at the cap now. Okay. So how much do you think he should be paid if he gets a little bit better by next year? Just a little bit.
Next year's contract, it decreases. So I think it's 23 if he doesn't hit any incentives. He's still a 15, maybe $17 million player.
In 25, 26, it's 21.
And that, okay, it's getting closer.
That's not bad.
It's getting closer to his true value. And it might still be super bloated by then, because it's funny, he got the money and now he's hurt. Every other week he's hurt. He's cramping.
I did pick him to be my disappointment of the year.
You're doing good. Season.
You know, you're I foresaw something with that. But listen, if he gets just a little bit better, man, if he could drive like he did in the Philly series, that would be nice. Get the defense a little bit better. I could see him being worth $20, $23 million. I really can.
So rebounding is a want. You got to want a rebound. You just got to want it. Those hustle plays, you got to want it.
Also, so he's not a power forward, by the way. He is not a power forward.
And he's too slow to be a small forward. So he's a tweener. Which is fine, but you're 6'8". You out there. Make yourself useful. Can't be 6'8 and give me 2 rebounds and play 30-plus minutes. That's criminal.
But you know what? Cool. Let's talk about this, okay? Now we got Schroeder in. Now, finally, Bridges plays off the ball. Now, finally, CJ can play off the ball and stay in the corner and not have someone kind of just hang around him and whatnot. I'm really intrigued to see how his game improves now that he's truly going to be like a third option. If he puts up 15 points a game, like I could see him doing that. 15, 16 points a game. He gets hot for a game, puts up 30. I could see that now that we have a point guard and Bridges is going to be playing off the ball. Because you're going to be focusing on CT. You're going to be focused on Bridges, on Schroeder. Probably not Ben, but you'll have a lot of eyeballs off CJ.
So basically you're saying giving our fourth option $25 million.
Yes, because we're smart people. I see what you did there. And fuck you for that, by the way, for making a good point on my ass.
I'm just saying. All you did was say we got Joe Harris again and more money. So we got a specialist.
Bro, oh, come on. Come on. Joe Harris is way better. No, I'm kidding. I had to make that joke.
Listen, all I know is you're talking about a specialist getting $25 million. That's it. That's all you told me. It's a specialist. And we saw what that looked like already. They went to the finals with that because they had Chris Paul and a true number one in Booker. So we see what he looks like in his natural habitat, right, of his game. And he averaged, I think, 11. Mm-hmm. Right now he's averaging 14. Lonnie Walker's averaging that on a vet's minimum.
You're right. I can't knock that. Numbers are the numbers, right?
But you see, the eye test matched the numbers. He just leaves too much to desire. You're like, come on, man.
Is it effort?
A lot of it is. And it's hard.
It sounds like he loves the game, though, from everything I've seen.
I'm not saying he doesn't love the game. We have a bunch of nice guys that you take home to mommy. I want the thug and felon. Give me that dude. That's Brooklyn. That's toughness. That's infectious. That makes people start rebounding. Like if you had a real big and a real point guard, point of attack, like the head of the snake and a big that's just like, yo, my whole job is to dunk and get 15 rebounds. It makes the dude who's a little lackadaisical energy pickup. Okay, I could die for this ball. I can go all out for this. It just changes the team makeup without doing anything. And so we got to start getting a little East New York grimy, a little Jamaica. You know, we got to get a little Queens. He got to go and get the people that he normally don't get because it ain't working. Nice guys finish last. We in 11th. That's out the playoffs.
All right, cool. It's late. Let's get some plugs in for you.
You catch me on Twitter, Brooklyn Nets Forever. And I think Wednesday I'll drop my content on Kool-Aid's Corner. That's on YouTube. Y'all catch me there. I got something cooking up.
All right, guys. You can follow me at NetFansYouKnow on Twitter, on YouTube. You can catch Fireside Nets live stream podcast I do with Spen Harris every Monday at Fireside Nets on Twitter. Have a great day. Have a great night. And we'll see you next time.
Let's go Nets.
We're out.